Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we dive into Sean Kanan's return to Bold and the Beautiful. Is Nadia Bjorlund returning to Days? Victor gets Beauty of Nature on YNR, and General Hospital recasts Christina. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Welcome.
Hello.
And Reagan, welcome.
Hi.
Well, let's just dive into YNR, since that was the conversation we were having prior to the podcast beginning. Jillian, what had you so excited, shall we say, about YNR?
Well, let's just talk about the good. Well, this Victor and Jack thing once again, blah, blah, blah. You know, Victor gets Beauty of Nature, but Jack gets his woman. So I'm like, kudos to Jack. I loved it. They were hot. And, you know, Jack had me shoved.
So apparently the only thing that's paralyzed on Jack is his legs.
Can you let me get there, please? They were hot. I loved when they kissed and they did. When I saw them in bed, I was like, woo! And Nikki was so, but she just had this grin on her face. It was like, Jack Abbott. She was like, well, he was like, look, you didn't ask. I thought that was hilarious. It was hot. I thought it was hot. Oh, play this beat
she
more.
She rode that cowboy.
Anyways, to play this beat more. It was great. I loved when Billy found out, when Billy was like, you know, when Billy was beating around the bush asking Jack when he caught Nikki with those glasses. Jack was like, look, my legs ain't working, but everything else is. And Billy is such a little pig, and I love it. They were like two little frat boys. Billy's all giddy that his brother's getting some tail. I love it! Ugh. Then we gotta talk about the bad. On the flip side of the Las Vegas romp, we had Victor and Genevieve. Good Lord. It was horrific when they kissed. You know, Smitty, you know, our boy Smitty, my nemesis, sometimes my homie Smitty.
I had Chipotle today and thought of him.
No.
I did. I totally did.
Isn't it sad that every time I totally did.
I mean, Smitty.
That every time I eat it, I think of Smitty.
So, you know, Smitty was on Twitter. He's like, I see spit! I'm like, what? Where? What? He's like, Victor and Janara. I'm like, oh my God. So when I watch, I was like, ew, I see spit trails! And they did it twice! I wanted to die! Oh, I was so grossed out. I was so skeeved.
That is a big no-no. And if it's there, you make sure it gets edited out.
Twice! They did it twice! I was like, gross! You know, I don't care what anybody says. This is all Maria's fantasy. She's playing with some paper dolls, and she's like, oh my God, what if we have Victor kissing Laura? Victor and Laura! Yeah! It does not translate well. They do not have...
Pac-Man and Pac-Woman.
No, I did not say that, so speak for yourself. They do not translate well on screen. This is terrible. I'm sorry. Jeannie Francis is not a hit over at this show.
No, go back. Go back.
She's not a hit. What do you mean, go back?
Go back to GH.
Yes, I mean, we
just
all
go back.
You know, Frank can talk the draw. He can talk the Fruit of the Looms off of a nun. Frank can go over to YNR and just be like, look, you know, I see the foolishness, the fuckery that's happening over here. Come on now.
Well, what did you think then by the end of the week when Victor and Nikki were in the stables together? For a moment, I thought they were going to end up mauled on the hay bale.
My girl is a diva. She's like, I don't want to ride your pony no more. Get out of here. You want to be with Genevieve? It's like, it was gross. It was horrendous. I mean, they still, you know, even at, you know, when they are at odds with each other, when they have those scenes with Victor and Nikki, they still have it. That is the money shot right there. If only the storyline would be a little bit hotter instead of it being, you know, I don't know what Maria's doing now. You know, Because to me, it was just Victor, Nikki, Jack, and Genevieve, when it should be Victor, Nikki, Ashley, Victor, Nikki, Jack, instead of this, this character is all out of sorts. Victor and Nikki still have that chemistry, but after all these years, Jack and Nikki still got that fire. It was hot. The part that just had me rolling was, Victor is sitting in his bathroom after, he hit the skins with Genevieve. He looks very disgusted with himself. And I'm like, sir, that is not your lesson to teach. And she's in bed looking disgusted herself, but he's thinking of Nikki. I'm just like, really? This is a caution. This is just what viewers are looking at. Like, it's not, no, ma'am. This is not a good storyline. Like, it was just a knee-jerk reaction for Nikki to be like, well, I'm a Jack. I kind of liked everybody noticing the chemistry between the two, the little glances, when Jill and Billy were like, what's going on with these two? And Jack's like, what you talking about? Nothing. I kind of like that. I would have liked a storyline where they snuck around, they kept sneaking around because they didn't want everybody meddling in their business. They wanted to test it out to see how things go. I wanted something like that for Victor to be like, I got beauty in nature and Jack doesn't give a damn, I'm trying to win Nikki back and she is just too preoccupied for everybody just to know something is going on, but they can't put their finger through with it. And for Victor to be like, who the hell is Jack seeing? And who is Nikki seeing to keep her preoccupied? And for Victor to finally find out and for him to just be driven crazy. Not this knee-jerk reaction just to one-up each other. It's kind of dull and boring. Like, make it a little fresh. I mean, no one gives it...
Well, what you're suggesting would be good soap.
Yeah!
I don't know how to do good soap.
Well, I know. Crazy mean. Bad, Jillian. I just slapped my hand. Jeez. I would have liked it to be fresher. I mean, we all know Victor does not give a damn about Janora. You read the May sweeps info. He's going to bring that little boy to town who's going to be an adult to bust up Jack and Nikki. I would have liked that to play in when Victor finally finds out about Jack and Nikki. He'd be like, oh, hell no. And for him to be like the good old days, like, Reagan, will you watch back? Did you watch back in the day or no?
Back in the day? No.
Yeah. Well, child, there was this one storyline where Jack was, like, romancing Nikki to get back at Victor, And Victor had gotten Jabot, and Jack was getting back, romancing Nikki to stick it to Victor in a way, but he fell for her. They fell for each other. And it drove Victor bananas. And Victor was like, look, I'll give you Jabot back if he told John, Jack's father at the time, he was like, I will give you Jabot back. And he was like, name it, whatever we'll do. And he was like, Victor didn't come out and say it, but Victor was like, Jack got to break up with Nikki. And Jack was like, John was like, you better break up with her, boy. And he was like, Dad, I love her. And he was like, break up with her. We can get the company back, son. And, just when Jack was going to do it, Victor pulled the wool over their eyes and was like, no, you're not getting anything back, and I'm going to still get Nikki back. How about that? But Nikki ended up being pregnant with Jack, and so it was just a moot point. I would have liked something like that again,
Mm-hmm.
It just, this whole...
What did you think of him getting Beauty of Nature back? Because that's putting Nick and Sharon in an awkward position.
I mean, it is the same bullshit, different day. Victor wins. Woo! Who didn't see that coming? I mean, Helen Keller called me and was like, girl, you saw that? They've really made Victor, and this is partly Eric's fault too. I mean, I have to, I'm going to go there. I mean, we can, chastise Maria, but Eric has gone on record and said that he cannot have Victor lose his power or his money because that is what makes Victor powerful, is his money and this and that, and how he looks at himself and says, well, my son and child, my child wouldn't talk to me like that, so I can't imagine Victor having his children talk to him crazy, yada yada. It's made you, it's sort of, it's pigeonholed him, it's made him wooden, and it's made the character, and it's making Eric one note. You know, we know Eric Braeden is a fantastic actor. I would like to see other facets of him. We've heard about, I mean, Y&R fans who've been watching from the giddy up have seen Victor come as a nobody who came to help Catherine run Chancellor Industries, rise to the top, and become this all-powerful being. I would like, especially in this day and age where Fortune 500 companies aren't the same, they're going belly up, but, you know, the CEOs are climbing back to the top. You know, I would like for something like that to happen, for Victor to lose it all, you know, his money, his company, his family, his lady, everything. I would like for Victor to lose it all because of the choices that he made, and for him to build back up from the ground up again to show, look, just like Stefano DeMira, I am the Phoenix. I can rise to the top again, too, for Victor to get it all again and to become even more ruthless. Not this whole, he wins. I mean, you know, it's very predictable. If I was Peter Bergman, I would just be like, you know what, forget it. Because after all these years, he spent 20 plus years on this show. You mean to tell me he cannot one-up Victor? You know, he's one-up Victor a couple of times, but then Victor comes back and ones him up. I would like for Peter Bergman's Jack to finally one-up him or something, for him to get Victor.
But it wouldn't last. That's the problem.
I would like for it to last for a little bit. For Victor to lose it all. Like his kids turn their back on him. For Nikki to be like, you kick rocks, you son of a bitch. And for Jack to, you know, I would have liked for Jack to get the company and the girl. And for him to lord it over Victor. Because Victor does the same thing with him. And for, you know, for Victor to just plot and scheme and be like, all right. You won this round, Jack, but I'm going to get you. And for everybody to be like, I cannot believe the all-powerful Victor Newman has lost. And for, you know, Jack, it's for Jack just to be cocky, to flaunt it in Victor's face. But while he's doing that, Victor is plotting and scheming a way to get back at everyone that did him dirty and for him to come back with a vengeance.
Let's talk about a little bit other plotting and scheming. Daisy and Ricardo, Rick, no, went and... Ricky went and snatched the little baby away from Daniel when he wasn't looking, and now they're going to use him against him, or use it against him in court. This last week, watching those two together, the dialogue was terrible, the acting was terrible, there was nothing bearable to watch when it came to their scenes on Y&R. Where is this cussy battle headed, in your opinion, Jillian?
I mean, we can see the forest between the trees. For some reason, Maria has a love, Jones, for this girl playing Daisy. You know, for this character, the character does not work. It's not only the online community that thinks so, because, you know, in Maria's world, she thinks, oh, it's just the online fans that don't like her. Carolyn Hensley, let me tell you, Carolyn Hensley from Soap Opera Digest, y'all need to pick up this, the newest copy of that magazine, because she went to town on Y&R, and she took Maria to task, especially the character of Daisy. She went there. She pretty much was like, you know, we're all supposed to be, everybody in town is supposed to be scared of this milquetoast, this flaky character. When Lauren and Phyllis have gone up against the baddest and the best of them, they're all scared of this chick who does nothing, who is nothing and does not bring anything to the table. Y'all need to pick it up, because Carolyn Hensley, man, she took it to church. I damn near broke out a collection plate because she went there. I'm like, see, it's not only the online community, as Maria likes to think. The magazines are talking about it. No one, you cannot, if Maria can list one person that is not affiliated with her show, with Bell Studios, with Sony,
CBS,
with CBS, anyway, she could pick one person that ain't even related to her or anybody on the writing staff or anybody on that show, period, that can say, this girl is, you know, this character is genius. I leave her alone. I didn't say five. That's my traditional trademark, five. One person. You cannot find anyone. She needs to cut her losses. She's really trying to make Daisy this diabolical schemer. We've seen Phyllis. Phyllis is the baddest schemer on that show. And you mean to tell me Phyllis can't outmaneuver this broad? Phyllis's sister Maria's made it so Phyllis's sister, what's her face?
Talk about milk toast, Avery.
I like her. She's made it so Avery can one-up Phyllis and can best Phyllis herself. If Avery can't best her, we know Michael Baldwin is the baddest attorney on the block, and he cannot best her. Lauren Fenmore, it was the ultimate super bitch on that show. And she's went after, Lauren went after Tracy, she went after that crazy Sheila. And you tell me they have Lauren shaking in her Manolos against this girl? It's ridiculous.
Reagan, you were telling us before the podcast that you were talking with some avid YNR fans who are your friends. Tell us what they said to you.
Oh, they're done, dude. They're boycotting it for the summer. That's their plan.
And their reasoning for that was?
They just hate it. They said it's all so stupid. And it doesn't sound like they're far off from everybody else.
Reagan, you've been watching PNB.
Yeah.
For those of us who've been watching it a longer time than you have, there was some fantastic news. Sean Kanan is returning to PNB. Of course, he's been on YNR, and you might have seen him on YNR.
I know him from GH, too.
And, well, I was just meaning in terms of the Bell world. But he's returning, and are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, I am. I am. I want to see him on BNB and see how he handles Hope and that whole thing. Because I can't stand Brooke Logan. I know you guys really like her, don't you?
Oh, no. I'm indifferent. I tend to lean a little bit more towards Taylor. But
it has nothing to do with Brooke or Taylor. And I think I'm kind of like,
kids.
I'm past like the whole Brooke and Taylor taking sides with them. Because I don't really see that much of Taylor in comparison to how much Brooke you see, but it's just how much she's pushing her kids and who they should be in relationships with. I can't.
She's becoming Stephanie.
Damn it! I can't handle it. Drives me insane. I kind of every time she's on and she's saying, you know, about either Hope and Steffi and Liam, but now it's Thomas, Rick, and Caroline, and that it should be Rick and Caroline. It's just like, oh, well, shut the fuck up already.
I get her. You know what? I get her with the Liam and Hope thing, because Liam was Hope's man. What's her face?
Steffi. Okay, yeah, I get that. I get what you're saying.
I get that, because Steffi did that to stick it to Hope, to in turn stick it to Brooke, where she fell in love with that boy. Steffi's a freak. You know, she's just like Brooke, and she just won't admit it. She's just like
Brooke.
That's
the reason why Brooke doesn't like her.
Brooke knows her own, so that's why she knows how to maneuver that chick. Mm-hmm. The Thomas thing, the Thomas Caroline Rick thing, I'm like, I really don't get that aspect.
Well, I think part of it is, as much as I don't like her pimping Rick, I get that she doesn't want Rick anywhere near Amber.
Yeah. Because I understand that.
Amber has caused Rick and her family so many problems over the years, and I love Amber. Amber is probably my favorite B&B character other than Stephanie Forrester, and so I am absolutely looking forward to Sean Kanan returning as Deacon, because Deacon and Amber were fantastic. It will be interesting to see how bad boy Deacon plays into good girl Hope.
Well, it's about time they bring him back.
What's going to happen when she says, where have you been?
Well, it's about time that he comes back. He needs to come back to see how his cub's doing. I would love for them to bring little D back, but, you know, that's going to be, I don't think we'll ever see little D back, because little,
not after what they did on YNR.
No,
right?
Not that. Little D is supposed to be older than Hope. Little D is older than Hope.
And Amber's barely older than Hope.
Exactly.
At this point.
And Amber
is the ageless soap character. She never ages.
She's forever a teenager. You know, she's like pretty much, she's probably like Dorian Gray. Well, without
she can thank her parents for DNA and genes that has made it possible for her.
I'm
18 for the past 30 years.
Okay, so what? I'm just picking up on what you're saying. Amber and Deacon have a son named Little D.
Okay, let me give you the backstory. Amber was with Rick. Amber used to be Rick's baby.
Yeah.
They aged him. You know, she went after Rick, and she got pregnant. But at the same time, they had Usher on the show, and she used to mess with Usher's character, Raymond. She didn't know who the baby was for. It ain't like she, you know, that they both black or they both white, where she can be like, eh, I can pass it off. Amber's baby died. So she had a cousin that was pregnant at the same time. I forget her cousin's name. Damn. Who messed around with Deacon. And she took her cousin's baby to pass the baby off as her own. And they named it Little. They named him Eric. You know, Eric the Third. So they called him Little E. Deacon came to town and was like, I want my son back. And, you know, he didn't give up his rights to that kid. So Deacon pretty much terrorized that family to get what he wants, where it started with that kid, Little E.
Okay.
So then, you know, after that happened, you know, he messed around. He and Brooke messed around, and she got pregnant with Hope. So Hope is younger than Little D. But...
Well, hell, I remember. Wasn't it Hope just a few years ago where she almost drowned in the freaking hot tub?
Let me finish. Over at Y&R, they've totally screwed it up because Amber's still the teenager, and Maria, I don't think they're following what's going on over at Y&R, which is smart. Maria made Little D, as he's now known, into like a kid that's in boarding school, that a kid. So, you know, I don't think you'll ever see Little D come back. Because
that's the reason why Adrian Franz had to get the hell out of Y&R, because they were aging her. She needed to go back to B&B where she's forever young. You
know, stop saying that. So, you know, I don't think you'll ever see that kid come back because Adrian Franz is still playing. They still have him in that role. They've aged Hope, you know. So it's really bizarre how they do this.
Did you have a favorite moment this week on B&B, Reagan?
See, I'm finding myself liking Liam and Steffi, so I liked them at that terribly named bar Bikini.
when she kissed him and he didn't really pull away.
Yeah. I did like I'm secretly, maybe not secretly, rooting for Thomas and Caroline now just to stick it to Brooke. So I didn't mind his little albeit cheesy and predictable.
Thomas is nothing if not predictable.
They would surprise me if they get Thomas naked. It's like that guy who plays Thomas, Adam Gregory, is beautiful and he has a thick body.
Yeah.
And he's done a love scene at all yet. I don't count that with Brooke because he and Brooke did not hit
the on the berries.
Yeah. And they didn't hit the skins. They just, you know, they just kept teasing it. You know what I mean?
See, that would have been something. They could have really shook up that show if they had come back from that island and Brooke had been pregnant with Thomas's kid.
No.
It would have shook things up.
It would have mean that show was over because you know when chicks at a certain age in soaps get pregnant, you know that's when that pink slip is coming, so don't do that. And I am so glad that Catherine Kelly, years ago, she told Brad Bell, she was like, enough, I don't want any more kids. She's like, Brooke has too much more kids. Please don't make her pregnant anymore. I'm like, thank you. At least she's one actress that thinks, you know, making a chick pregnant on screen doesn't mean that they're still young and youthful and vibrant. It's too much.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Days of Our Lives. Nadia Bjorlund might be coming back.
Oh, for the love of God. Enough already.
She's back again. No, she's not. She's back again. No, she's not.
It's whack-a-mole. Whack-a-Chloe. Obviously, you have some very strong opinions about this, Reagan.
It's kind of one of those situations where Nadia just needs to see that caller ID and not answer the phone.
A whole bunch of them, too.
enough. Really enough. Just
these people have to put food on their table.
I understand. I'm not disputing that, but it's the way they treat them.
It's like, you know, Matt Ashford, I hope he does not have a cordless phone. I hope he has a corded phone.
Yeah, so Matt Ashford needs to have that number blocked.
Damn blocking that. I hope, you know, Matt Ashford still has a corded phone, so when they call, when it's Ken Corday, hey, Matt, who's this? It's Ken Corday. Bram! Not no click. He just breaks that phone and busts his eardrum wide open because they just treat him bad. I wouldn't mind Chloe coming back. I wouldn't mind Chloe coming back, as, you know, especially if they brought, they'd have to bring Jay Kenneth back. You know, I would like for Chloe to come back to
they
just
could
be
pair her with Brady, couldn't they?
Well, they've done that, but I mean, you know, Jake.
Well, I know. I was just meaning with Sarah Brown.
I don't mean that. I mean, let me finish. I mean, I would. They'd have to bring him back because Phillip has her kid. I would like for her, Chloe, to come back to be a bitch on wheels, and for Kate to come. I'm here to see my grandson, and she'd be like, "Bitch, please, you ain't seeing nothing after what you did to me," and for them to amp up that rivalry. You know what I mean? And.
Really, what is she going to do?
Who?
Chloe. Say she comes back and it isn't with Philip, and Philip keeps the kid for whatever reason, or, like, what is she going
to
do?
They could still play off of that rivalry. You know, I would just like for the kid to be there. You know, if they don't bring Philip back, just bring the kid back. I would just like for that, because to me that kid is key for her to, like, screw with Kate the way how Kate screwed with her. Sean Christian?
But I'm just calling people by last name. Sorry. Like, he's my buddy on the basketball team.
I'm like, Kiki Alfonso's still there, girl. What you talking about? Sean Christian is still there. They just have him floating around. I don't know what's going on with that.
They need to get rid of him.
I mean, he's a good...
Jamie had a good post about 8 characters that need to be... leave Days of Our Lives, and I was like, you know, I think I could come up with 8 characters from every soap except for possibly B&B that need to leave.
I mean, you know, they don't, no matter who's in charge, they just don't seem to know what to do with him. Me personally, when he and Lexi were cool, they had this sort of hidden tension chemistry going on, and I'm like, uh-oh, I would have liked for him and Lexi to have some torrid affair on Abe's behind, and Abe be like, what the hell, man? That would have been hot.
At least that makes sense if they're, you know, I see what you meant. I know what you meant about the tension, but the workplace thing, that's like,
yeah,
that would work. That would make sense.
That would have given Lexi something to do. Instead, they're going to kill her off. To me, they should kill her off. They should just ship her off somewhere to leave that door.
Oh, nobody ever really dies.
Well, it's not like
she's got a brain tumor. If there's anything you're going to die from in soaps, it's brain tumors.
And Robin's body was burnt to a crisp, remember?
Oh, no.
She was Kentucky Fried Chicken is what she was.
Technically, they just said that was Robin. They didn't, you know, that could have been someone else.
Oh. Robert supposedly
viewed
the body.
He viewed
Let's talk a little bit about Days of Our Lives.
Now, I got to go back to that. How can you view a body that
he went in there?
He went in there, but she was charred. How the hell can you see? Robert got a sixth sense that we don't know nothing about. Never heard them say the DNA and the dental record said it. Because when they said Robert viewed the body,
they did. Julian, right? They did not check dental record.
Okay, continuing with Days of Our Lives, this last week, Stefano set up Kate. She fell for the trap, and by the end of the week, she had lost her company, more than one company, in fact. Sammy was in charge of Countess W, and Kate was getting a job with Ian at Mad World, which, of course, was pissing Madison off. A lot went on in that story, and for a good portion of the week, it didn't seem like much was going to happen, and then it just sort of started to steamroll. Jillian, what'd you think?
I hope they set it up so now Stefano could go after Marlena, because I've never liked that whole Stefano hates Marlena mess. We know that was Stefano's queen of the night, honey, so this is now... You know, Gary and Chris need to make it do what it do and have Stefano go after Marlena again, because we know when Marlena's in peril, that's when people are like, oh shit, something wrong with Marlena today. I mean,
gotta tune in.
Yes, I mean, I do think it was kind of, that was a really good move. Well played, Stefano, when he put Sammy in charge. You stick it to your wife by putting her mortal enemy in charge.
See, and I'm sort of liking how EJ is... disconcerted by Stefano's behavior. And even though I really like EJ as a Dimir and I'm not looking forward to the twist that's coming, I'm liking how it's playing out on an incremental level, because I like the fact that he's disconcerted. I like the fact that he's trying to get back in his good graces by going to Sammy. There's definitely elements of it that I'm appreciating. In the big picture, EJ is amazing as a Dimir. Not having him as a Dimir is going to suck. And
so you he's disconcerted about what?
I like the fact that he doesn't have a clue why his dad is doing to him what he is, or understand that Stefano might be in as much pain as that EJ is, but Stefano's having to cut EJ out of his life because he's not really his son. He was duped by someone. I like that
I don't really like that, because Stefano raised Kristen and Peter, who weren't his kids biologically. That's not Stefano. You know, once Stefano raised you, Stefano don't give a damn about DNA.
But he didn't raise EJ either, though. I mean, EJ came to town an adult.
But still, you get what I'm saying, though.
He's like claimed him as his.
Exactly. Once Stefano claims you, he doesn't care about DNA. So I thought that was a little, I mean, who are they going to make EJ? You know, I hope they don't pull a John Black, you know, where we see for many years, we don't know who EJ's father is. First it was Stefano, then it's John, then it's Stefano, then it was the milkman, the butcher, the baker, you know.
The candlestick
exactly.
maker.
Exactly. I'm not really feeling that at all. To me, I think that was out of character for Stefano. Stefano is a lot of things, but once Stefano believes that you are his, or you raise him, or he raises you, Stefano doesn't care. I mean, for him to just cut EJ out, I really didn't like that, because Kristen and Peter weren't his, and he cared for them. I could see if Stefano cut EJ out of his life because EJ did something, or EJ knew all along he wasn't a Dimir and duped him, then I'd be like, damn, you know, EJ duped Stefano. That would be pretty interesting if EJ knew all along that he wasn't Stefano's. I think that would be a fantastic twist for him to pull one over on Stefano as ginormous as that. That would be great. But for Stefano to just be like, you're not, you know, he's not mine, he's out of my life, that was a little out of character for Stefano.
Let's talk about General Hospital. Some big casting news. They have recast the role of Christina with an actress by the name of Lindsay Morgan. Reagan, what are your thoughts on this big news?
I mean, immediately you kind of go to sad that, like, not kind of, you go to sad that it's not Lexi Ainsworth. She was so great in that role. But, you know, she tweeted a couple of things that sort of sounded like they maybe talked to her about coming back, and she was going to keep going with exploring new things for her, which is a good thing for her. So, you know, how sad can you be after that, other than let's give her a shot and see how it goes?
Yeah, Soap Mama, you know, everybody was all pins and needles wondering what big Soap Mama
Nancy.
Was going to... Yes, child, I was waiting for it. I was like, Lord have mercy, Twitter's going to be on fire, and then you're going to hear the role of Alexis. Robin Strass or something. Yeah. Alexis get a big-ass gavel dropped on her head. It's like, how did you get that? Jamie likes to talk about that big C being dropped on someone's head on Santa Barbara. I'm like, Lord have mercy. But Nancy was like, she's cool with it. Lexi's cool with it. She told Lexi not to sign a contract to go to primetime. And I'm like, you know, she makes a point. Lexi, you know, you know when they tie you down to a contract, you're pretty much toast. I mean, that's what I remember years ago when Chad Brandon, everybody kept, you know, harping on Jill. Why won't you give him a contract? And Chad said one of the things that Maurice told him, Maurice took him to the side and told him, look, do not sign a contract. If they want you, they will come. Let them come to you. You make yourself free so you can be able to do any and everything. Don't be saddled to a contract. You're still young. Don't do it. And he did it, but then Chad finally broke down and signed that contract, and that was all she wrote. So, you know, Lexi will be all right. Yeah. You know, everybody was hoping that they would have given the role back to her, but it is what it is. If she did not want to sign a contract, then, you know, good, you know, Godspeed for you, girly. Hope things work out for you.
Yep.
One of the highlights for me this last week in soaps was Kelly Monaco's performance as Sam. I don't think that I've ever enjoyed Monaco as an actress as much as I have in this story. And I was telling, I think I was telling Reagan, it's like, for the first time in my life, I'm feeling sorry for Sam and empathizing with Sam. And I don't know, my soap world is being turned upside down because I don't know how to compute it, shall we say. But this last week, her and Steve Burton, our opposite of Steve Burton, Kelly Monaco was hitting it out of the park, and the pain, and it was just like, wow, great job. But at the same time, I couldn't help but think that now Jason has basically lost two children, two of his blood children, in about a year.
Oh,
just
my
over
God.
A year.
Typical man. See? You see how this genre? Typical man. You thinking about Jason? I'm sorry. Jason is a big douchebag. And you liaison fans, if y'all want Jason with Liz, y'all can have Adam, because it was all about Jason. I'm like, hello, she was raped, you pig.
Oh, I agree with you.
You set it all up. You feel bad for Jason. You open that door,
well,
Shawnee.
No.
Hit it, Reagan.
No, here was my take on the whole situation. I think for the first time, Sam was given dramatic material that wasn't with her just a face full of tears that actually had some substance behind it. And Amen. So Kelly Monaco was actually able to show like a depth to her acting that we haven't gotten to see a lot of. So here was my thing about the whole component of Jason to it. For a first time, Jason looked like the dick, and he wasn't put up on this pedestal that he's been put up, where he was the one who controlled the situation and he was the one who could pull all the puppet strings. And so instead of making him out to be the one that we sympathized with in the scene, it was Sam. And I liked that change of pace.
Finally, because I'm sorry, when Jason was getting up, I was like, are you serious, you freak? You funky asshole. I'm like, she was raped. It wasn't as if Sam went to the club, hooked up with Franco, then hooked up with you, and then, you know, I'm like, give me a break. This woman was raped, and it's all about you and wondering if you can raise that kid. I'm like, hello. Susan Moore was a crackpot, and Monica still was able to raise your bitch ass. I hate Jason. So I'm like, you know what? If y'all liaison fans want that fool with your girl, then have at it. I'm like, uh-uh. Well, John McVay raised that baby. You get out of here, bastard. I can't. Oh, Jason, I wanted Sam to sock him in his big mouth. It just makes Jason a bigger asshole than he is before. You know, I'm really rooting for Connie Cake to plug him when she goes after Sonny, because he's such a tool.
Let's talk about her. Reagan, what are you thinking of Crazy Cake?
You know, sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't. So, stupidest statement ever, but and I can't pinpoint exactly what I hate about it, except to say that when Sonny's in the scene, I don't like anything about Kate.
You know,
or Connie.
She's speaking to Sammy Brady. She sure talks to herself a lot when people are willing, just about walking into the room to hear exactly her entire dialogue.
You know, it's like, I'm going to get that Sonny.
We saw this done much better on One Life.
Maybe that's it, too.
And as much as the actress has drastically improved in this role, but at least it's not Sonny in the mob, I guess, is the one thing that you could
cart her off the fern.
Jillian, man, what are your thoughts?
Cart her ass off the fern cliff. I mean, it's funny. I think it's kind of funny when she talks to herself, and you know, the actress that plays her, the facial expression she makes Crazy look really crazy.
Yeah.
Know?
She went after that cake when it was done. And that
I was like, girl, what is wrong with you? You killed Holy that coal. Now you're killing the cake. What else are you going to kill? I want Connie Cake to go up after Carly Caroline. That's what I want. I want those four bitches to go up against each other. Me, personally, I would have liked, because of Connie Kate's actions, she, you know, because of it, Sunny went to jail. I mean, Luke is always, I want Sunny to pay more. This could have been, you know, for all the people that don't like Sunny and the mob, well, I shouldn't say Sunny, but don't like the mob hogging it. You have top cop John McBain. It should have been a situation where Sunny got nailed courtesy of McBain, but McBain just sit there and be like, something is not right with this. And for him and Sunny to finally, he, Sunny, and Jason have to work together, and they figure out that it wasn't Sunny.
And that's the problem. Sunny is YNR's Victor Newman.
Oh, no. Uh-uh. No.
No matter what happens, you know that as crazy as Kate's going to be, she's not actually going to kill him. So because they're not going to kill off Sunny. He's not going to be mortally wounded so that he ends up in a coma for 6 months. The framing didn't work, or he's not going to trial. Sonny is impervious to almost any type of attack in the long run.
I disagree with you, sir. Sonny and Victor, I mean...
He shot his
wife. Okay, let me finish, though. Let me get that. Victor never gets any sort of punishment. Sonny loses out. Sonny always loses. Sonny loses out tons. Victor, he will lose on a Monday, but on a Friday, Victor comes back as the Phoenix and wins everything. Sonny gets his punishment in terms of going to jail. No, Sonny does not go to jail. I understand that, but that's what I'm saying. This should have been a storyline where John is on Sonny like white on rice. I mean, you have top cop John McBain. He's like the baddest cop in all of soapdom. So for John to nail Sonny and be like, this is from my sister or whatever, you play upon, because Jamie and I talked about this, you play upon Sonny's claustrophobia, and John be like all happy that Sonny got busted, but then something in the pit of that cop stomach of John says, this is not right. And for him and Jason and Sonny to come together and they finally investigate and realize that it's Connie Kate.
Final thoughts on this week in soaps, Jillian.
I am enjoying GH. Certain things I don't like over there, like, you know, to me, I think Star and Cole, hear me call them Star and Cole. Star and Michael are like Star and Paint.
Drawing.
No, I got this. They're like Star and Cole. They're like, it's to me, it's Star-Crossed Lovers, the Port Charles edition.
Oh, thank you for bringing that up. Are either of you concerned about the fact that Johnny went and bought out a record contract?
No.
No, I mean, mobsters always have their foothold in something legit.
I know. It's just for me, it's like, I don't want to see anybody singing on General Hospital unless the words Nurse's Ball are involved.
How you know she ain't gonna be involved in that? But I don't, you know,
Didn't he have like a little... Didn't he have like a little thing with Brooklyn when she was back briefly? Why am I blanking out like this last time around when Brooklyn was here? Why am I blanking out about it?
She was more involved with Nicholas as his.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Personal.
It was Nicholas.
Date.
That's why. That's why I was blanking out. I was blanking that out of my brain. I was blocking.
I mean, I granted, General Hospital does have history with it. I mean,
yeah, I would have liked Brooklyn to like him. I would have liked him say, "I bought out your contract because I bought L&B Records."
Yeah,
because
they ain't
something like that.
See, I already said what I would have liked to bring Star on there. I would have liked for Star's contract to get picked up by L&B, but L&B, her contract is, you know, she's on hold because L&B is going through turmoil. Well, that's how you explain there ain't no L, no B, or hell, no N. So, you know, but it doesn't bother me that Johnny bought a contract. I'm like, the mob always has its foothold in there somehow. I'd like for, you know, Jamie's, I've always talked about having like a black mobs to come to town who, you know, his front is the music business. Is his front, but he's a mobster, and that's how you can get L&B in there. And that's
or L&B had studios there. Somebody who reopens, you know, takes over that studio or something.
Or so it doesn't bother me with that. I'm just not liking Star and Michael. It just feels like Star-Crossed Lovers. It's like been there, done that.
Listen, I'm sorry. That boy's boring.
Yeah, but he's boring. Oh, it's terrible.
The only time I ever find him interesting is in scenes with Sonny. For some reason, they have a really good father-son chemistry, and I can actually watch Sonny in a scene, and I can watch Michael in a scene. And to a lesser extent, I don't mind Michael when he's with Carly. But outside of that, Michael is just boring as crap. Reagan, what is your favorite or moment of the week or final thought?
I'm getting sick and tired of Hope. I need to see a little less Hope on B&B. Even
not going to happen.
I really do. I need to see less of her. I can't handle that every single day she is on in some capacity. I can't handle it. I need a break.
That's what they transition into, Chow. So
yeah, it used to be this way with Brooke.
I need a
break. Now it's Hope.
They become the Fab Three.
Even like there's a day where you don't see Steffi, but you'll see Hope. Oh, you'll see Hope.
She's the next Brooke.
No, she's not. Steffi, we've already established, Steffi is Brooke.
No, from that perspective, yes, I'm just talking about she is now, they are shifting the star of the show in terms of the female lead. Brooke was the female lead for years, and now it's shifting to Hope.
Oh, yeah. I just wish Liam would stop being to me, I just wish those chicks would just band together and be like, forget you, Liam, with your tired self. Because at least when they did the Taylor Ridge Brooke storyline, it would be 6 months Brooke would try to go after Ridge, but Ridge would be with Taylor, but then he would start thinking about Brooke. He'd be like, Taylor is my a good girl, she's good on paper, she's everything that my family looks for, she's always there for me, this and that, and I'm so considerate and so worldly and this and that. But then he would think about Brooke when Brooke was scheming to get him, and he'd be like, man, it's just something about Brooke. I can't, I just can't be without her. She's full of life. She has that fire. She makes me energized. She's she just reinvigorates me, Then you see him for 6 months with Brooke. But
yes,
then he's
this immediate back and forth is very...
Right, I would like for those chicks to just band together and be like, Liam, forget you. You got me doped up because you can't hit it right. And you got Steffi acting like a fool, like a plum fool, too. I would like for them to band together and to, diss him or some new guy come in and show them, look, if you're with me, I wouldn't be wishy-washy like Liam. Liam playing you. And for Liam to be like, the hell? And for him to finally get some gonads and pick a broad, he'd be with her for 6 months to a year. Then he goes back to them, and then you ping-pong. But this whole everyday thing?
I just thought of something.
Lord have mercy, no.
What if Steffi and Deacon got together?
Hmm.
That could be hot.
So instead of
going after Hope's husband or boyfriend or whatever, she's going after Hope's father.
Wait. So she would have then had sex with Liam's dad and Hope's dad.
Hope's dad.
She's never had sex with Liam's dad. Correct. Correct.
Wait. No, I thought she did. Everyone told me she did.
No, she didn't. Who told
no,
you
they,
that?
No, they were interrupted. They were interrupted.
Oh.
Steffi,
there's
okay.
been a whole bunch of almost times, okay, but every time, like one time they went to have sex and Katie had
okay,
a heart attack.
Okay, well let me know. That's not how it happened. Let me correct you. She started playing with Bill so she could get the company back. When Katie came home, that's when he was like, you gotta get out of here, you tramp. And she took the wedding ring, blah, blah, blah. And that's how she got seized control of the company. Katie had a heart attack because Bill was telling her he was leaving her for Steffi. And the stress of that made her go boom.
Okay.
So, no, Steffi never slept with Bill. I would kind of like for Steffi. That would get kind of hot. I mean, it would be sort of Brooke-esque for her to sleep with. For her, I would like for her to nail, she nailed Hope's brother, Hope's father. That would be kind of Brooke-esque of Steffi. To still,
I think Deacon and Steffi could be really hot.
I don't
Just
know,
putting
but,
it out in
the ether. I don't know, but that. but
I mean, I know, Reagan, you were never with us in the whole Dicky thing on Y&R.
No, I liked. Stephanie, I was a big fan of the Switch name.
They
was
were hot. You didn't like them as a couple? Oh.
I didn't watch much of them. That was the problem. Like I had just,
but she loved it when to bring up the name.
I had just missed them, like when Sonny went on like her little hiatus, when I started watching, and then like I caught maybe a touch of them when they were in and out a little bit, maybe.
But that would be kind of interesting for Steffi. You know, let's say Liam finally makes his choice, and you know, Liam is with Hope. For her to still stay in Liam's orbit, she decides to mess with Deacon, sort of like how Stephanie got, you know, she got over with Taylor.
Yeah, that would be good, because that would be a good, if when he, like, I could see, or I would like that storyline too, if he's like, all right, enough, enough, I choose Hope, that's it, it's done, it's over, and I could see her being the vengeful bitch, and...
Decides to just to still stick around Liam. She messes,
or even just to stick it to Hope,
right? And she, you know, she messes with Deacon, so she can still stay in his or stay in their orbit to, you know, keep your enemies close, but you know, keep friends close, but your enemies right up under you. Mm-hmm. And for everybody to be like, oh, how could you do that, Steffi? And you know, for Brooke to be like, you know, that would be really good, but. Yeah, it's not gonna happen. Dollar Bill is bringing him to town to bust them up. It's like, I don't understand why, you know, Bill doesn't try to, like, I don't know, someone calls him out and is like, you know, you just want to nail Steffi for yourself, you freak.
And on that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential, and add us as a friend on Facebook. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye. No more spit trails.